Welcome to MTG Pro Tutor, your gathering of insights, tips, and advice from renowned players and community icons. Connect with venerated teachers to gain the knowledge you need to improve your skills. Now, here's your planar guide and personal tutor, Sean Penrod.
What's up and welcome back. Episode 231 of the MTG Pro Tutor Podcast in your earballs. Right now, we have a great guest lined up. Before we do, thank you to the patrons who make this show possible. That's right. This show is brought to you by you, the listeners, the patrons who keep the wheels greased. And I am so excited that we are at the beginning of another month here, and I will be announcing the winner of the patron exclusive giveaway here shortly. So stay tuned through the next week as I will be announcing who wins. And this month, we are sending out a commander deck. So whoever wins, I'll reach out to you, ask you which commander deck you want, and Paragon City Games will send that your way. So Paragon City Games, thank you so much for your support of the show and providing the sweet prize support. So check out ParagonCityGames.com to figure out what they have going on over there. And here we are at the beginning of the weekend. We had a couple great Grand Prix last weekend. We have a few Grand Prix this weekend. And I love watching who makes the top eight, seeing some new faces, recognizing some old friends, and it's just going to be a great time. So plug into any coverage that they have. And if not, then at least get out there and play some Magic yourself, whether that's FNM or with friends. But definitely encourage you to play some Magic because, hey, it's fun. And on that note of fun and improving, here we are about to dive into another interview. And that's why we do this, so that we can get better as players. I love to bridge the gap between what we're doing and what the people who make top eight are doing. And it's fun because some of them are making their first top eight and they're just a few steps ahead of us. And some people are Pro Tour regulars and top eight is just a way of life for them. And it's really great to get those two perspectives and see, you know, what they're doing that we're not, what we can do, how they think, what they consider, and applying those mindsets to our game. So without further ado, I'd like to bring in our guest, sit down and talk about Magic. What's up, everybody? I'm super excited to have our guest with us today. Our guest has a couple Grand Prix top 16s and finished sixth place at Grand Prix San Antonio with John Stern and Alex Majlaton. He recently got second place at GP Sao Paulo in 2017, coming to us from Sao Paulo, Brazil, prodigies near and far. Let's welcome the one, the only, Vitor Grassato. Vitor, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you. It's a nice intro. I love it.
Well, are you
and
ready
you?
To...
How it's going?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm doing great over here. Are you ready to delve into your mind and share with the audience tips and tricks to take their game to the next level?
Oh, for sure. Let's do it.
Excellent.
Pretty excited.
Excellent. Prodigies, if you want to connect with Vitor, you can find him on Twitter. He's at Vitor Grassato. You can find him there and reach out to him, say thanks for being on the show, and just connect with him there. So, Vitor, we'd love to talk a little bit about non-Magic stuff before we do Magic stuff. So, are you born and raised in Sao Paulo?
Yes, I do. I live here since I was a children. I love Brazil. I love Sao Paulo. If I need to choose some place to live, I'm going to Paris. But when this not happen, I still in Sao Paulo.
Excellent. Now, is Magic all you do, or do you work? Do you go to school? What do you have going on?
I finished my college in 2010. I finished my college. I always work with SAP. It's a technology system. I don't know if you know it. We call it SAP. And I play Magic since I was children, but now, in 2 years ago to until today, I just play Magic.
Okay.
So I have a store. It's a nice store here in Sao Paulo, and I can dedicate my time to this. So.
Wow. So you run a Magic shop?
Yep.
Excellent. That's really neat. So you do that. It's like you get people to come in. You do, you know, events throughout the week and tournaments and stuff.
Oh, yes, yes. We do Friday nights. We do some Magic showdowns. A couple guys come here just buy cards or asking for advices or just change ideas, you know.
Yeah.
It's great. I love it. I work my entire life, but the thing I love, it's Magic. So I try to put these two things together.
Put the two together.
Make some money. Yes, make some money. Open a store and try to use my time now just to dedicate myself to tournaments. So that's it.
That's awesome. And now, you know, you can say, hey, you know, the store is run by somebody who made second place at a Grand Prix. That's pretty cool.
Yes, that's good. That's good. In Sao Paulo, it's very common. We have Carlos Romão, who is a very friend of mine. He's 2-time world championship, and he has a store too. And we can swap knowledge about Magic and about the store or how run the business. You know,
nice.
That's nice. Yes.
Yeah, that is really cool. So we would love to hear your origin story with Magic. Can you take us back in the day and tell us the story of the first time that you ever saw or played with Magic cards?
Okay, was in 98, I guess. It was Prophecy or Odyssey. I don't remember. I guess it was swapping. It's Plane Chase. It's a bunch of these editions. And I was running with my father in the mall, and I saw the cards. And we have Pokemons and we have Magic. But I don't know why. I love the Mirari, the art of Mirari.
Yes.
And I want a booster pack. And my daddy bought it for me. And I just don't have any idea what the card does or how to play the game. I just love the images and the cards. And after that, I showed to my other friends in the school and my neighborhood. And they start to join with me. So we all make learn together, but we have no idea what we're doing. And a couple years later, after we play like 2 years with no sense magic, I meet a guy. Today he's working in Wizards in Brazil. His name is William Bernardino. Uh-huh. And he was an attendant in a magic shop in my hometown, São Caetano. So he teach me how to play the game correctly and starts to talk about how I can go to tournaments to give a travel. When this happened, I have like a 12 for to 13 years old. Mm-hmm. So I was a young a kid with a lot of dreams, and I said, oh my God, I can play a game and travel the world. This is awesome.
Yeah. Man, that is really cool. It's so yeah. fun just hearing how people come into the game. Like you said, you were running through the mall with your dad, and you see the cards there, and
yeah,
and just,
yeah.
that's just it. You know, you get them, yeah. and your friends get them, and then
it's
you
like,
stick
it's
around.
Like, it's like a game shop. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a PlayStation and Nintendo 64, yeah. and a couple Magic cards together, and I buy the cards. My dad was okay. That's cheap. I will buy the cards, not the games.
There we go.
So he loved the idea.
That's awesome. Awesome. But, and that was way back in Prophecy, right around there.
Yes, my first card was Avatar of Ho, the black one, 665,
yeah.
strike creature. Wow, this was great. But something happens in this story. After that, in 2002, my dad's gone sick. He's been in coma for 6 long years. And I take my force of will and my mind to become a great man and straight as well, not lose my control or everything else, because I'm single child. I have no brothers. So it was only me and my mom when my father got sick. And magic and community helped me a lot, because I need to study, I need to make college, I need to become a great man. And magic helped me to become with a force of will, a determined, a focused guy. Mm-hmm. And after that, I start to play more competitive. After some pre-releases, I start to play the regionals in the time. You know, you need to play regionals to go to nationals and may go to the worlds. And besides that, we have the PTQ, not anymore. Now it's PPTQ and another PTQ. Mm-hmm. But in the time it was PTQ. I play in 2005. My first pro top 8 of PTQ, I finish in top 4. I lose the games. But for me was awesome, because I was with 15 years old in this time. My father is still in coma as well. But when he's passed away, I put magic a little bit apart, mm-hmm. Like a hobby only, not more aggressive, competitive, because I need to work to provide some help to my mom. And I start to study a lot, and I make a free college here. It was great for me. And it starts to work with SAP. So I dedicate my time and my focus on that. It was great, because I make some money. I become success in my career. That for me was great. And then year after year, I start to grow in and make some money, so I can make some decks, so mm-hmm. I can dedicate a little bit more in Magic Online. So this for me was awesome. A very close friend is Thiago Saporito. He's living in San Andrés. It's a city like 10 minutes from my home. So we play a lot together. He helped me to improve my game. Viliedo as well surged in this time of the history, helping a lot of Brazilian guys, helping the community. So I have the shot to train with them, to become a player who would not go to Pro Tours or not in the circuit, but in São Paulo as well, I can train with them so I can become better and better. So a couple of years ago to now, I have the chance, as I said, to make this store and to dedicate my time just for Magic. And was when I finally get my first great results, the GP San Antonio with the trio was just awesome and amazing. I made a couple top 16 as well in the sequence, and now finishing second at GP São Paulo was a tremendous result for me.
Yeah.
So it's basically, that's my history.
Yeah. What an incredible journey, you know, and I love how Magic is many things to many people. And for you, it gave you, like you said, you know, the focus, and it gave you the opportunity to, you know, to dedicate yourself and to interact and have a community, you know, as you and your family were going through a tough time. And so I really think that that's amazing that Magic can do that for people, provide them with an outlet that they can, you know, socialize in and be creative and really put energy into when, you know, when they need it. So that's really, wow, what an incredible journey. And like you said, here you are and, with the store and doing well at events. And I think that's really, really neat that you've had that journey throughout. As you've played Magic, what's been, your favorite set?
My favorite set was Ravnica, I guess. I love Ravnica. I love the Deathrite Shaman. I love Dark Confident. I love Ravnica block. So,
nice.
Putrefy, Mortify. Wow, it was great cards.
Yeah, a lot of great cards. So,
the Ghost Council of Orzhov was one of my favorite cards of this collection, this block as well.
I was about to ask that. What is one of your favorite cards? Is it that one or is it different?
I guess Ghost Council of Orzhov. My favorite card of all time is Meloko the Clouded Mirror.
So tell us, what is that card? What does it do? And why do you like it?
I like it because he's a Moonfolk wizard. So he's like a extra plane mage. So he's pretty awesome. What he does is he's 5 manas, 4 colorless, 1 blue mana. He's 2/4 fly. And he has an ability. You pay 1, 1 colorless. You can return any lane from your battlefield to your hand and put 1/1 fly spirit token. So in the time we have a deck about Hurt Pitch of Spring. It's an enchantment green. And when you tap 1 mana, you can add D2 to your pool. So you generate like 5 manas, it's run 10. You can bounce over your lands and become with 10 manas in pool. So you can put everything together, a lot of tokens, and make finish your opponent. So it was a great deck. I love it, this card. And hope one day he's become a Planeswalker, maybe.
Yeah? You think that'd be cool?
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Man, that's awesome. Yeah, it's really neat to, you know, put those things together and just have those fun, you know, interactions and, yeah.
Yes, he's not a great card like a Crypt Command or Vangelion Click or Bitter Blossom or Crypt Command or cards like that were broken in play until now, like Thermoglyphs. But I love this card. It's a fair card, but his art is nice. He's a mage in the moon, like, and if you read the lore, you'll know Jace and the other planeswalkers banished Enhaku to the moon, something like that. And Meloko probably is over there. Maybe someday he will ride the Enhaku back.
There you go. He comes back. That'd be fun.
Yes. It's a fantasy, obvious, but I like the card.
Very cool.
It's my favorite one.
Very cool. So as you started getting better at Magic, as you started to become more competitive, what was an early challenge that you struggled with but that you eventually overcame?
My previous results was in 2009, I started to play more and more aggressive competitive. So I made my first top 32 with Fairy's deck. In that occasion, I beat one of the most pro players in the world, was Paulo Vitor. He's Brazilian as well. And I figured out it's possible. You become from nowhere and train a lot and make some results. So for me, when I have time to train and to play more, I realized if I dedicate myself and my focus, I could be one of them. So we have a shot to travel for like 4 GPs in a row.
Oh, wow.
Yes, it starts on Porto Alegre. Then we go to Orlando, San Antonio, Mexico, and come back to Brazil. And 2 months after that, we have GP Chile as well. So what I did was training a lot in Magic Online and talk to every player I thought is better than me, just to have the sure if my thoughts are right, are correct, you know? If I play like this way, that's the correct, what I need to do to improve, what I need to do to become better. And this was more important than the hard train only, you know? Just talk with the guys and understand what they are thinking, make me better than just train, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's really good. That's really good that you would do that, that you identified, you know, the people who were better than you and that you would always constantly talk to them and make sure that the things that you're thinking, the thought processes that you were having were, you know, constructive and moving you towards a direction of improvement. That's great.
Yeah. That's the same thing I thought from the beginning. I remember when I was young and I was passed for a trouble and tough moment with my dad, for example, the community helped me because, you know, you occupy your mind with some constructive thing and you talk about how you can become better and the people give your opinions and you can mix that opinions to become with a great deck or to become great at a tournament. So I never have the afraid to talk to another people I never met before. If I was in a GP and I was next like a guy, for example, Pascal Maynard. Well, Pascal is great player. He's tremendous. Be part of a great team as well and go to all pro tours. And I have a doubt and I guess Pascal is the right guy to tell me what I need to do. I just present myself, talk to him, and ask if he has some advice, or if he can give me some information I need to know, because he's over there, he's next to me.
Yeah.
I have the chance, and I know, and I don't know if I will have another chance like that to talk with him again. So if you are polite, if you are a Rambo guy, if you are educated guy, you know, not rush or become aggressive with them.
Right.
Just calm, polite, and ask him, not a robot, of course, but ask about him, how he's going, how he does to prepare, what he's eat, if he sleep, what he does. Because he's my reference, like another of a big and bunch of great players.
Yeah.
So if I want to be in the same level of them, I need to follow his steps. So if he sleep well, he eat well, it's a sport, like just another sport. The people don't know this idea yet. But for me, it's very clear. Magic is the same level of another sport. It's a mind game, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have discipline, if you don't train hard, and if you don't have focus, probably you have no results. Doesn't matter if you have talent. If you have talent, it's an accomplishment. It's better.
Yeah.
Because with talent, you can understand faster and you can collaborate with everyone. But if you don't, you need to heard before, try to understand why they do or why they not do. And I don't know the word for teimoso, why you look for it. But do you know when you have a hard head, you don't swap your opinion?
Yeah, when you're like stubborn or close-minded or yeah.
Yes. You need to open your mind. Don't be close-minded. If a player was better than you, give you advice to do some things and you don't agree, try to understand why he does.
Mm.
And try to talk with another players are better than you if this is really right. If they agree, so you need to change. So that's one of the most important things I learned in the past 3-4 months until now.
Love it.
I was going to say,
I think that's really cool. And what I love is that you said that magic is like a sport, just like any other sport. And so there's the training and the eating and the sleeping and all that stuff. And people don't really catch on to that. And so what I want to ask you is, you know, with, you know, football, for example, you can go out and you can practice every day and you play and whatnot. And it's very kind of clear when you're practicing. What does training for magic look like? Cause you said that's important. So what does that look like for you? Cause this is a sport and we're going to treat it like one. What does that look like for you? How do you train? How do you practice?
The example I get from this is like Cristiano Ronaldo and Messi. Messi is a talented guy who don't need to train a lot because he's already was a gifted mind. So he has the talent. So he's an amazing football player. And Cristiano Ronaldo is a great football player, but he's not talented as Messi. So he needs to be the first one in the train and leave at the end of the train and give himself a magical body, like a machine, you know? For magic, it's the same. You need to eat great things. I don't like junk food, for example. So I try to eat good things, food every day, and sleep well, and start to run magical line as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. Train like 8 hours, stop a bit, take some rest, read something or watching an episode in Netflix or in every place you want, just to free your mind a little bit, then come back for more 3-4 hours. That's my preparation. So I eat very well. I made 8 to 12 hours of magic online every day. And I take some rests. And inside of that, I try to eat chocolates and drink a lot of water because I guess it's food for your brain, you know, become lubrify and become clearly. You need a little bit sugar, but not much. So drink a lot of water, eat some chocolates and train a lot in magical line or with friends. That's my routine of training.
Yeah, that's really good. You know, it's good to have that dedication, you know, and knowing that you need to practice, and there's tools that are available for us to use. Like Magic Online is a good tool that you can get on and you can play. And yeah, you can play, you know, 8-12 hours a day. And if you want to just get those reps in. And I also think while you're doing that, it's important to, you know, analyze the games. Cause if you're just playing to play, you know, you're having a good time, but I really think there's a lot in like the post game evaluation and really trying to think about what you did, how you did it, where you could have gone, you know, what you could have done differently. Do you do a process like that?
Yeah. Yes. I don't know if this process works for everyone, because as I said, some guys are very talented.
Yeah.
So maybe they need less hours than me. So maybe for some guys, 4 hours work perfect. I know my limit. You need, and every player need to know his limits. So when you push yourself hard, you will discover it, like everything. So try to push yourself at the maximum level. When you beat your limit, you will understand how your capacity. After understand your capacity, know yourself, you can improve it. And you can pass to other people. But first, you need to know yourself, know your limits, and know how much time you need to dedicate yourself for a GP or a Pro Tour or any kind of tournament you're gonna participate.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's my advice.
Love it. I think that's really good advice. So as you have played Magic, you have had, you know, ups and downs. You've already kind of alluded to some of those along the way, just like every player has. You know, we all have ups and downs. But I really want to learn from your worst Magic moment. So can you take us there and tell us what happened and specifically what you learned from your worst Magic moment?
Okay. When I was young, in 2010, 2011, was after one of my great results. I finished the GP São Paulo in 2009 in top 32. So in this time, I was become a better player. But I was young, I was a little more angry. I don't know why, I was arrogant as well. And I don't remember why the reasons I was that kind of person. and I involved myself with a judge discussion, and I say a lot of bad words to him, and this prejudicate me. I don't know why I lose my mind. I don't remember as well, but I take 3 years of Bennett from Magic.
Wow.
Yes, because I say a lot of bad words to him, and I understand I was completely wrong. Even if I was right, I don't have the right to say to a judge some bad words because he is the judge. He's the law in the game. I need to respect, and I don't understand why I do this. But I talked to him, I talked to the other pro players, and my penalty cut for the half. So I become banned for 1 year and a half.
Wow.
Because of that undisciplinary code. I become a better player after this. You know, I changed all my mindset.
Wow.
How to treat the people and how to respect a guy who has the power. Even if I don't agree, I need to talk to him and put my side of vision of the event and respect his decision.
Wow.
So what I learned was when you have the chance to talk with a guy who know more than you or hold more than you, you need to hurt him, agree or not, but never fault with respect.
Yeah. Dang, that is crazy, getting banned for 3 years, but then getting it cut in half. And you said that you changed your mindset in that time and you came back a better player. What did you do? How did you, you know, how did you do that?
Okay.
Obviously, you were young and so a little bit, you know,
yeah,
is growing up, but it's still a year and a half. It's not like a ton of time. So how did you change your mindset so you can come back and be a better person?
Hey, you know, this judge as well, he's my friend today. He's one of my biggest friends in the game because he helped me to cut this punishment after all. What happens was in Nationals 2011, I was playing the winning and I made a mistake. And it was not a deliberated mistake. And when I realized I did it, I conceded to my opponent and lose, of course, the winning. But the judge take that mistake as a deliberate and give me a DQ.
Mm-hmm.
I become so mad because I even have the notice what I did. I just did, and after realize what I did, I concede to my opponent.
Yes.
And he said I did it deliberated. So we start the discussion. And I say a lot of bad words to him. You don't know me. You don't know my history. How you can say that and blah, blah, blah. And after that moment of angry, when I become in my mind again, I said, oh, my God, what I did. Wow. I want not be this person never anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I be a guy like that, I will never get the respect, the respect of the other players. Even if I become a great player, the people will see me like, okay, he's a great player, but he's a dick. He's a guy I don't want to follow him.
Yeah.
Because his mind is completely lost. So after that discussion, I came to real world and said, this is not happening anymore. And this judge, after all, become my friend and help me, and never happens before. Just grow up in the game. That was awesome.
Yeah, that's really neat. Like, you had that, the ability to reflect and say, wow, like, this is not the kind of person, you know, that I want to be. And really, you know, taking that to heart and letting that, you know, change you. I think that's really, I mean, that's awesome. That's really big that you went through that experience and that you came out, you know, better for it. So sometimes, you know, sometimes it's those wake up calls, those punishments that we get that give us the opportunity to reflect and improve. So, wow. Thank you for sharing. That's really neat. On the flip side, obviously, are our highs. So what has been your proudest Magic moment to date?
Okay. That's a funny history. That's a very funny history. In this year, I was very focused to the game, very dedicated. I was on my better level, I guess. And couple Brazilians with Villedo, of course, starts to make a group to travel for these 3 or 4 GPs in a row. So he made a group with a couple pro players, with Thiago Saporito, Carlos Romão, Marcio Carvalho, Willy Edel, me, Pedro Carvalho, a lot of Brazilian great guys from Dex Army, for example. And we start the travel in Porto Alegre. In Porto Alegre, I finished day one losing for Salvador and finished 7-2. In day two, I don't make great result, but I finished 10-5. In Orlando, I made a 11-4. So in San Antonio, I was waiting my teammates arrive at US, but you don't have any idea what happens. My teammates don't get his visas allowed.
What?
Yes. And I was in San Antonio with no teammates. And to become worse, I didn't buy the ticket before. I buy the ticket when I was in Orlando. So PayPal has checked the information. He said, okay, he's a Brazilian guy who are trying to buy a ticket from an event in San Antonio from Orlando. This is problem in Hackett. So we're going to block. So I get not my register. And when I arrive in San Antonio, United Airlines just lose my luggage.
So oh my gosh.
I was without my pool. Of course, my decks are with me, but my pool of cards, because we are a huge travel with a lot of and tournaments. So we need modern, we need standard,
right.
we need limit. So I travel with a great pool of cards. So this pool was heavy. I can't bring everything with me. So a lot of my cards was in my luggage and was lost. So I have no registration, I have no teammates, and I have no card.
Oh my gosh.
What I do in San Antonio? Nothing. But when I arrive in the airport, I found BBD over there, and I tell him my sad story. BBD said, oh my God, I will talk with Pascal and the guys if we have someone to play with you, be cool. Everything's gonna be fine, relax. And I appreciated this, but because it will be very important. Look what happens. When I arrived at the hotel, Willie said, what happened, guy? Oh, Grillo is me, is my nickname, is Grillo.
Okay.
Oh, Grillo lose his luggage, and to become worse, his teammates not get visa. And Willie said, what? Oh, he has no team. Okay. Willie said, I will tweet something. You go to the event, try to confirm your registration, and we're going to try to find for you a team. And be cool about United Airlines with your luggage, because they will find it. Relax.
Okay.
I go to the event center. I tell my history to the guy. I guess his name is John. John became very commovated with me, because he said, oh my God, he's traveled 10 hours and his team get not the visas and he's lose his luggage. Okay, I will confirm your registration. If you found any player with registration, I will put you with them and you go play the event. Okay? I said, okay, that's perfect for me. But my English was just terrible because I was terrified. I was nervous. I was stressed a lot. If it was not Paulo Vitor over there to say to them with me, probably I will be there until now because I can't speak English, just for you know. But okay, I be there until 8 p.m. I arrive like 1 hour, 1 p.m. Mm-hmm. and leave at 8 p.m. with no team. Okay, when I finally go back to hotel, I said to them, okay, guys, I don't find any player, but I confirm my registration. I just need a couple guys, if you know something. And he said, I have a great news for you. I know John and Alex gonna play with De Martier, but he's was locked in airport because the blizzard. So probably you can play with them. I will talk to him. After that, Pascal Maynard heard about this with BBD and make a group in Facebook, presentate me with them. Like, John and Alex, this is Vitor. He's from Brazil. His teammates don't get visa, and he's looking for a teammate. Probably if he then can't go with you, you can play with him. Alex heard. Alex hid the Willy Adele tweets and said to me, okay, maybe we can play with you. Which deck you have? Then I remember, I lose my luggage. I just have one deck with me, the Escape Shift one. So, okay, I start to call, this is desperate, to United Airlines. And they promised to me 1 a.m. of the next day in the nightfall.
Yeah.
Probably my luggage will be arriving at the hotel. So I said to John and Alex, okay, I can play with Escape Shift. I'm an Escape Shift specialist, but I have another deck. And they said, okay, if you have BG, I can play with BG and you can play Escape Shift. If you don't have, you need to play a Storm. I said, oh my God, I don't want to play a Storm. I don't want to make those counts. Well, to finally finish this miracle, my luggage just arrived at the hotel at 1 a.m.
Okay.
And I sent a message back to guys and said, okay, my bags are here. All my luggage are here. All my pool are here. Which deck you want to play? And they said, okay, if you have a BG, you can play with Escape Shift. I made the deck in this night, like until 4 a.m.
Oh my gosh.
Woke up early for GP. And they locked it with me. They said, okay, we're going to play with you. The day tomorrow, I was with my deck, the John Stern deck, the cards they need, meet them, and the table was just like Jacob Wilson, Sam Pardee, Matt Ness, Seth Mayfield, John Stern, Alex Majlaton, and myself. And I said, hello, guys. Who is John and who is Alex? Because I am bitter. I don't know those guys, but I know they are my teammates. And John said, oh, it's me.
That is funny. Who's yes, John? Who's said, Alex?
Yes. And said, okay, it's us. Nice to meet you. And I said, okay, perfect. Well, sorry about the run of the night. I said, no, you save our life because Dan cannot make it. And the blizzard are very hard on Canada.
Yeah.
So they are locked on airport. We need a guy. And I don't know. We fit just perfect. Alex was a monster in that day. He made 9-0, his personal result. And we finished day one 8-1 with 8 wins and 1 loss. And I beat guys like David Ochoa. I beat guys like Patrick Sullivan on camera. Was just a perfect day.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's an incredible story. So that is, I love that. Thank you for sharing. I love when I guess share stories, and that was a really, really good one. And you were able to, oh man, you were able to play. They were able to play. You know, like you had two teammates that didn't come. They had one teammate that didn't come. Like you had the cards that you guys needed. And oh man, that is, and then you guys ended up at sixth place, right?
Yes, and wow. In day two, we play again, every game's good, but in day two, they carry me a little bit more because I lose mostly of my games, but they are on rush, so they beat everyone. And when was two rounds for the finals, we got the team could concede to us. We explained those histories, and John said to them, oh, okay, If we won this game, we will lock this little guy, was me, to his first Pro Tour ever. We will lock Alex for gold level and myself to silver level. And you guys could concede because we are looking in the stands and blah, blah, blah. But the guys refuse and we lose.
Oh, no.
Yes. And the final round, you just need to win because with that victory, Alex and John will lock his personal scores. They will lock his gold and silver level. So I made everything possible to win that match, and we win. So we finished at sixth place. Was amazing. Was tremendous for me, even without the Pro Tour, because only top four with teams do this.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it was just amazing because I was not prepared to play, and I get an amazing crew. with two lovely guys. I just love these guys.
Yeah.
They are very attention. They are very patient. They introduce me to his own community, you know, his own guys. And I am just nobody. I am a nobody with them. So I start to become, this guy is a great guy. He could be a great player. Let's talk more to him. And after that, I go to Mexico and don't make a great result at all. But in Chile, I made another 11-4. And then I was crawl with the second place in GP São Paulo with my Escape Shift deck.
Uh-huh.
I love this deck. So it was amazing. I finally get my Pro Tour. I got a lot of pro points in the first season, in the first Pro Tour of the season. So I can dream with a silver level, maybe, you know?
Yeah, I was going to ask that. So all these events were for pro points for last season, right? And then your GP second place was pro points for this season. Is that right?
Yes, that's it.
Okay, cool. So how many pro points do you have right now for this season?
I have this 6 pro points.
Yeah, not bad.
In the player of the year running, I was in 7th place, so that's great. That's awesome. I can make a couple more pro points. We have now the nationals, which prize with 4 pro points now, because they rearranged the WMCQ becomes nationals again.
Right.
So now it gives pro points. So in next month, I'm going to play the nationals and I can try to got these points. Will be great for me. And I have 3 for participating of Pro Tour. Mm-hmm. So I can make more 7, let's say this. So my expectations is try to lock a silver or gold level this season.
Yes.
I will try to do this. I will try to make an excellent Pro Tour, be my best, try to do my best, evidently, and train hard as well.
Yeah. So this is going to be your first Pro Tour?
My first Pro Tour ever.
Nice. So what are you going to do? How are you going to prepare? Are there other people that are going that you're going to link up with? Like, what does that look like for you?
I talk with Brazilian Pro. We're going to make 2 houses, one of the main team, of course, and one of the other guys are running into, like silver level players and GP players like me. And we try to play in a house and play in the other house and try to mix our ideas. And I will try to make a boot camp. I don't know if it's confirmed yet, but I will try to make this with the pro players of another countries 1 week before the week of Pro Tour. So I know we have the GP Phoenix and I will try travel in the Monday of GP Phoenix week and try make a boot camp with the Italians and Denmark guys to improve my draft level.
Cool.
Yes.
Great. That's good. It's cool that you have a plan. You're like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And I think that's really good that you thought about it. You're putting it together and that you have a plan. That's really good. That's awesome.
Mm. I guess when you finally got your Pro Tour shot, you have 2 options. Only become very excited about it and go for it. Like, okay, let's try to make some results here. Or you can train, dedicate yourself at maximum level and try to lock for another Pro Tour.
Yeah.
That's what I keep in mind. If I made top 25, I lock myself to another Pro Tour. Perfect. So I don't want to win a Pro Tour. Of course, if I won, we'll be perfect.
Yes.
But it's a little bit utopic right now because it's my first. I don't want to be so much greedy. I just want to be realistic. Of course, I dream with this. I believe in this. But I want to be realistic. So I will try to make my personal results transform it in a top 25. to walk to another Pro Tour.
Perfect. I love that. I was going to say, hey, what do you need to do? And you know exactly what you need to do. Top 25 gets me another invite. And that's the goal. I think that's really good. Like you said, sky's the limit. If you go all the way, great. But you know, hey, my personal goal is just make it to another Pro Tour. I think that's really good. So you can start chaining them together. So that's awesome. Man, I'm so excited for you. That's going to be great. When's the Pro Tour?
We'll be in 3, 4, and 5 of November.
Mm-hmm. 3, 4, 5. Perfect. Man, that is really exciting. That is really, really exciting. So, hey, so as you've played Magic all over the world against people, you know, thousands of different, games and just hundreds of people that you've played against, what's the biggest mistake that you see players make?
Which I make or I see people make?
That you see other people make.
Wow. Was in Madrid in December. Was not inside the game as well, but was in the calculating of standings. I don't know if you heard something about it, but John Larson and Ivan Floch, they are making counts because Joe Larson was unbeatable, undefeated, and he need just a intentional draw and a victory, I guess. But he missed a guy with a bunch of points too, and make two intentional draws. And because in he cost the 9th place, he was off of the top 8.
Ooh.
Undefeated and out of the top 8. That was one of the biggest mistakes I see.
Dang, he so probably, what did, ouch. I mean, so what can we learn from that? Like that does stink. Yeah, so what can we learn?
I can learn if I have 1% chance to become out, I will play the game. That's why I learned, because it's so frustrating, you know. He was undefeated, he was on a great spot, and because he don't see the standings are posted and together with the pairings, he can't do the counts right, and this cost him a GP top 8. So wow.
Yeah.
I guess you need to take all information you need and confirm this is the right information after take a decision. So after that, I learned if I have a chance to become out, I could be out. So I'm going to play.
Yeah.
And inside the game was myself in a PPTQ final for a RPTQ, probably 1 year and a half ago, was Modern season. I just blanked my head and give escape shift. I just need to sacrifice 2 mountains, and I sacrifice 7 mountains. And when I look into my deck, I have only 5 mountains. So my escape shift gives 0 damage.
Oh, really?
Yes. And I have no idea why I sacrificed 7. Because if I sacrifice 2, I could take 1 Valakut more and 1 mountain more and kill him. Or just 2 mountains and kill him. And I sacrifice a 7. Why?
Why? Oh, man.
Yes. I get my head just blank, bam. You know, just huge for a second. And I make this. And after that, I asked to my opponent, was a friend of mine inclusive. We played together in Mexico. He's one of my teammate. And I said to him, Tiberio, why I did this? He said, I don't know. He said, I will concede, but just for fun, I said, go, do. And you did this. You gave the game to me. Why?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's crazy when stuff like that happens. You're just like, what happened? Wow, that's crazy. So what have you learned from Magic that you've been able to apply to other areas of your life?
I learned if you want a result, you need to put yourself in and focus as you a maximum level, because nobody can make this result for you. For example, if I work in a big company and I want a report perfectly, I need to understand the numbers and do it myself. No pass the information to another one. Make myself, because the results I expect will be got it if I dedicate to this. So magic is just that. If you want to suit, if you want to become a great player, if you want to go to a top 8 or pro tour, you need to dedicate yourself and put responsibility on yourself and transform this on practice and discipline to make it happen. In a company, it's the same. If you want a result, you need make discipline, focus, mix this, and make yourself to go to a meeting and explain what your thoughts, why this project will work or not. For example, if I want to running an app, how I can know if the people will enjoy my app? Well, make the app as a perfect way to them. So if I want you play with my deck, what I need to do with this is improve that deck at maximum level, have great results, and say to you, okay, I train a lot, I practice a lot, I made second at GP with this deck, you can play with this. Do this, this, and this, and practice a lot. Do you do the same results? You're going to take it. You know?
Yeah.
That's what magic does.
Love it. Man, this has been absolutely awesome. And we're kind of turning the corner here and getting towards the end. And I just want to remind all the listeners out there, if you want to connect with Vitor, you can do so on Twitter. He's at Vitor Grassato. And obviously he has some great stories, knows a lot about magic. So feel free to hit him up and say thanks for being on the show. Vitor, it's been awesome having you. And I would love to ask you for one last parting piece of guidance, either something you already said that you want to emphasize or something new you want to leave with us here at the end.
Sorry, what? One last word?
Yeah,
you
what's the last, what's the parting thought you want to leave with us?
Okay. My final thought is, if you want to be a magic player or a pro player or try to reach a pro tour, you need to think it's possible. Only depends of you. You need to focus. You need to become disciplined. And you need to train and practice. Play the game. You need to play the game. It's possible. It's possible to everyone. Everyone who dedicated yourself. Everyone to play the game. So enjoy the community. Go to the stores. Talk with people. If you have doubt, ask to a pro player. Try to hit him in Twitter. Try to hit him in Facebook. Try to hit him in GP on-site. Some you travel. You know, they are over there. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid and don't be scary. Just ask. Enjoy the community. Ask to the players. Try to demonstrate them you deserve it. Earn your respect, you know. I guess that's my final thoughts about it.
Wow, thank you. Vitor, I want to acknowledge you for your contributions to the multiverse. And thank you so much for sharing your time, for sharing your great stories with us. It's been a blast having you on the show. You are a hero among planeswalkers. And I hope that you are never mana screwed, that you always draw what you need, and that you depart every plane victorious.
Well, I hope make a outstanding result at Pro Tour and talk to you again soon. So was nice. Thank you so much for your space, your time. I apologize myself because we need to reschedule, so thank you again for
this.
No
worries, no worries. It's been great, Vitor. Thank you. Vitor, thank you again so much for coming on to the show. Prodigies, you can get the show notes at mtgprotutor.com/Vitor Grassato. And there you will find show notes to this episode, as well as links to any resources that were mentioned. And before we close out, thank you again to the patrons for making the show possible. mtgprotutor.com/Patreon is where you can go to learn more about that. And if you do sign up, then you will be considered for every drawing moving forward, where each and every month we give away some sweet magic swag provided by Paragon City Games. So thank you to them as well for supporting the show. So there you have it. We have some Grand Prix this weekend. I'm sure you have some magic events that you will be attending. So I can't wait to connect with you again next week. Until then, I'm Sean of The Gathering, and we will see you in the next cast.
This round of MTG Pro Tutor is over. So you don't miss a single episode of MTG Mastery. Be sure to subscribe to the show on your preferred podcast listening service for more exclusive interviews, deck building tips, and elite content. Or visit mtgprotutor.com to stream it straight from the source. We look forward to helping you think and play like a pro.